1 Samuel 4, 10 through verse 22. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. And the slaughter was very great, for there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. And the Ark of the Covenant was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Now a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he came, behold, Eli was sitting on his seat by the road eagerly watching, because his heart was trembling for the Ark of the Covenant, Ark of God. So the man came to tell it in the city, and all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, "What does the noise of this commotion mean?" Then the man came hurriedly and told Eli. And Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were set so that he could not see. The man said to Eli, "I am the one who came from the battle line. Indeed, I escaped from the battle line today." And he said, "How did things go, my son?" Then the one who brought the news replied, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has also been a great slaughter among the people. And your two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the Ark of the Covenant has been taken." When he mentioned the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of God, Eli fell off the seat backwards beside the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. For he was old and heavy. Thus he judged Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was pregnant and about to give birth, and when she heard the news that the Ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband had died, she kneeled down and gave birth, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman who stood by her said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have given birth to a son." But she did not answer or pay attention. And she called the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because the Ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." She said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God was taken." And we'll conclude there this evening the reading of God's Word. What a day! You've had days like that, I'm sure. The cat got killed on the highway. The bathtub overflowed and water ruined the bathroom. And the car broke down on the way home from work. All in one day. You say, what a day. Don't know if I could handle another day like that. Well, that's a rather small scale, but on a bigger scale, there are certain days in history that we shall never forget. When Pearl Harbor was attacked, it was President Roosevelt who said, "This is a day that shall live in infamy. It will never be forgotten." One day, the sun comes up and the sun goes down, and the course of history has changed in one day. D-Day in France was a day that shall never be forgotten, probably, as long as the United States of America is in existence. Those of you in our generation who have lived through the destruction of the Twin Towers in New York City in 9/11, a day that you will never forget. When anybody says 9/11, now you know what they mean. One day, so much happened. In 1971, there was a popular songwriter that wrote a song called "Bye Bye Miss American Pie." Some of you probably remember that. The lyrics go like this: "A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance. and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. And then the lyrics go, "So bye-bye, Miss American Pie, drove me or my Chevy to the levee, and the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, 'That'll be the day that I die. That'll be the day that I die.'" Mr. McLean has never revealed what he intended, what was behind these words, except for possibly one incident. He also goes on and says later on in dealing with the influence of Christianity, I suppose, in his life. And he says, "In the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried, and the poets dreamed. But not a word was spoken, the church bells all were broken. And the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died." He has been approached on a number of occasions and asked, "What did you mean by all these lyrics?" And there are many more lyrics here that are very, very mysterious. And he's never revealed what he meant. Maybe to keep his song popular. If he revealed what it meant, what he meant by these lyrics, I think that it would have lost its popularity. But he writes about the day the music died, like the world came to an end. There's no music that needs to be played anymore. The Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, they caught the train for the coast the day the music died. Well, I suppose if I had to describe the text we read this evening, it would be the day that the music died. This is a terrible day. And if you were not there, you would not realize how terrible it was. Mr. McLean, what was he talking about? I don't know. The death of John Kennedy, the death of Martin Luther King, the death of John Kennedy's brother Robert, the three, maybe the Trinity. People just trying to understand what he was saying. The end of the Vietnam War, the day the music died. America will never be the same. Often it's been said about the 9/11 tragedy that America will never be the same, and it probably will not. Days of innocence, as we have said, not that we were ever innocent, but the days of innocence are gone in America. We will constantly be hearing about threats from our enemies. It'll never be the same. Every day when you turn on the news, there's always the possibility that some great tragedy may have happened by the terrorist. And likewise in Israel, this was the day the music died. It was a day that would not be forgotten. We see here the beginning of the day, verse 10, the war that was supposed to have been won. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent, and the slaughter was very great, for there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. One day, 30,000 men have died. That's possibly 30,000 widows in one day in Israel. It was the day, as Mr. McLean said, the music died. Worse than that, the Ark of the Covenant is gone. And that seems to be the theme of the rest of this chapter. There's nothing worse then the Ark of the Covenant is gone. Verse 11, and the Ark of God was taken. And the sons of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas died. There's nothing worse that could happen to Israel. We are told later on in verse 22, the glory has departed from Israel. So the daughter-in-law said, for the ark of God was taken. The glory of God is gone. In other words, God is gone. God has departed from Israel. That's the way they saw it. There is no guarantee of safety. There is no guarantee of victory. And we are at the mercy of our enemies. God is gone. And God has left us. God was associated with the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. In our day, it would be like some decree from Washington, D.C. saying that all Bibles must be confiscated. All churches must be closed. And if anyone is found praying in the name of Jesus, you will be put in prison and you very well may die. If that were to happen, we would sing, that was the day the music died. It was a day that will not be forgotten. And notice the issue about the ark. Again, in verse 13, always amazed me here. When he came, the messenger came to report about the battle. Eli was sitting on his seat by the road, eagerly watching, because his heart was trembling for the ark of God. Now, it was not trembling here for his sons, which is what we would expect. And later on, when he is given the report about the battle, he doesn't ask about his sons, he asks about the ark of God. In verse 18, for example, or verse 17, the one who brought the news replied, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there all has also been a great slaughter among the people. And your two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. That's report number one. Your two sons have died. And report number two is the ark of God has been taken. And Eli fell over and died. And you know what killed him? Not the news about his sons, but the news about the ark. That's what killed him. So look in verse 18 when he mentioned the ark of God. Now he mentioned about his two sons first. If you'll check verse 17, he mentioned about the death of his two sons, and then he mentioned about the ark. Then when he mentioned about the ark, that's when he fell over. And that's when he died. Matthew Henry says that Eli died of a broken heart before he ever died of a broken neck, or more than a broken neck. That's the day the music died, because the Ark of the Covenant is gone and we are defenseless. We have no hope. Verse 13, when he came, behold, Eli was sitting on his seat by the road, eagerly watching, because his heart was trembling in the ark for the Ark of the Covenant. So the man came to tell it in the city, and all the city cried out. Compare that with verse 5. Remember what happened in verse 5? As the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth resounded. Just previously to this, they shouted with joy. Now they cry out in tears, knowing that they have no hope. All the city, when they heard of the Ark of the Covenant, was gone. See, they loved that Ark. That Ark was their dearest possession, because that Ark was the presence of God, and that Ark was the Ark that always gave them victory. Because God is with us. So the end of an era. The day which will not be forgotten. And God gave them a memorial, a sign, a way to remember this, which we're told in the last part of the verse or the chapter. Now the daughter-in-law in verse 19, Phinehas' wife, thank God you weren't married to Phinehas. Be careful who you marry. And I think of this poor lady. I think of her as a poor girl. She made a bad choice. You know, she didn't make these choices. She had to live with this choice she had made, living with this man. No doubt when she became pregnant, they were very happy. Look forward to the day that this child would be born and they could enjoy this child as a husband and a wife and the many years they would have as mother and father. But this was the day for her too that the music died. It was the day that she'll never forget. It was the day that she died. It was the day that she died. Verse 19, now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was pregnant and about to give birth. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was taken, now notice that's the first thing that's mentioned there, okay? It's always the first. It's always the primary reason. And that her father-in-law and her husband had died. She kneeled down and gave birth, for her pains came upon her. She gave birth, we might say, prematurely. And it tells us here that she died. Verse 20, and about the time of her death, at the time of her death, it was the day she would die. Her father-in-law died, her husband died, her brother-in-law died, and she died. And the Ark of the Covenant is gone, and 30,000 men have left widows and children without fathers. Are we going to sing? Are we going to sing happy songs today? Nah. It's the day the music died. They tried to offer her comfort, as women would do. You've got a son! Verse 20, about the time of her death, the woman who stood by her said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have given birth to a son." Trying to encourage her, probably trying to give her some hope. But it didn't do any good. You know, you think most people would want to live, it would seem, just for the sake of this son. That's the way most of us would see us. Well, you've got something to live for. You've got a son to live for. Yes, your husband is dead. Your father-in-law is dead. Your brother-in-law is dead. 30,000 men are dead. The Ark of the Covenant is gone. We have no security whatsoever. We have no promises from God, it appears, that He will take care of us. But you've got a boy. I mean, there's something worth living for here. Don't just give up life. You've got a son. Says she paid no attention. Verse 20, but she did not answer or pay any attention. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Worse than that, I guess being realistic as she was, let his name be called Ichabod, which means the glory has departed from Israel. Call him Ichabod. My father-in-law is dead and my husband is dead. The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God was taken. No singing on that day. No dancing on that day. And I think, again, really what disturbed her more than anything, if you'll just look there, it's the Ark of the Covenant. That's what killed her. And that's why she named her son what she did. The glory has departed. That's what killed Eli. It was not the death of his two sons. It was the glory has departed. That's why the people of Israel cried out with a loud cry, the Ark of God is gone. We can handle a lot of things in life and a lot of bad news and a lot of troubles, but take away God, take away His blessings and His promises, we have no hope. And it's almost as if she were saying, I'd rather be dead than to have to live without the Ark of the Covenant in Israel. And the child carried his name all of his life. One generation that would never forget. It was a bad day. A bad day for Israel. You think you got bad days? Just think if you were an Israelite and you were living on this day. You got a bad day. This is 9/11. Prior to 9/11. This is the 9/11 of Israel. The day, as Mr. McLean said, it was the day the music died. It'll never be the same. Let us hope that we never see such a day. I think of the day of Christ's death, in some senses, at least in the minds of His apostles, was the day that the music died. You know, it was the day that there'd be no more singing. All this hope in Christ. He's going to come and bring the kingdom of God. He's the Savior of the world. And there He is, dead. He's dead. It's not a day for singing. You know, some days we have days like that, right? People say, let's sing. Don't feel like singing. It's not a day to sing. It's a day to cry. It's a day to mourn. But the good news is that Jesus came forth from the grave. Isn't it? Jesus was gone too. What? The glory has departed, so the apostles might say. The glory has departed. He's dead. The man in which we put all of our hopes, he's dead. And now you see the great news about the resurrection. The people said, no, he's not dead. I've seen him. He's alive. Son of God, the glory has not departed. The glory is here. He's still here. He's more glorious now than He ever was. Let us sing. Let us sing a new song. You see what the resurrection meant to the people of God? In the Old Testament, the glory has departed. In the New Testament, the glory has departed. But also, there's the news. Glory is back with us again. And He's more glorious now than He shall ever be. Not only has He come back, not only has He come back from the grave, but He's ascended to the heavens and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That's our God. And you know what? He'll never depart again. He'll never depart. He's there permanently. Permanently. The glory of God will never depart again. Take comfort in these words. That's why the writer to the Epistle to the Hebrews says that our God is a faithful God. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Because God will never leave again. His glory will never be gone. That's the promise we have in the new covenant. Christ is in glory permanently. And the music will never die. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank Thee that even though the glory departed, yet God saved His people. And even though Christ was put to death and all the hopes of all His followers were dashed, He rose forth from the grave. More glorious than He ever was before. And we thank Thee, O Lord, that God sits upon His throne in Shiloh, the heavenly Jerusalem, permanently. And He will conquer all His enemies and all of our enemies. And He will never forsake us, nor will He ever leave us. O Lord, the day the music has died is over and it's gone. We live in the days of singing because we live in the days of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to sing with gladness in our hearts, with thanksgiving for His promises. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.